about the subject of backsliding. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, Peter says, "For after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they again are entangled in them and overcome, and the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow, having washed, is wallowing in the mire." So here Peter warns brethren about the real possibility and serious consequences of backsliding. It is interesting that Peter is the one that warns about this, because if anybody knew about backsliding, you know, firsthand, it certainly is Peter. And so I know that there are others that could have probably written the same thing and expressed the same thing, because everybody has had a problem with backsliding at one time or another. But we see this problem on the night that he denied Jesus. And when it comes to backsliding, the process is something that's usually a gradual one. It's not as if Peter, you know, woke up that day and said, "Well, I think I'm going to deny Christ tonight and fulfill what Jesus said about me." And people don't usually make plans to digress and to become something that they don't want to be. But backsliding is something that happens gradually. And so we want to look at the process that led to Peter's denial of Christ. And notice from Peter's own words here how you can prevent that from happening, you know, to us. And certainly that's what God would want for us. And Peter is as well, as he wrote these things to the brethren. So first of all, is pride is something that can lead to backsliding. And you're probably very familiar with what Peter said to Jesus when Jesus predicted that there was going to be denial. In Mark chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, but the sheep will be scattered. And after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." Jesus assuredly said unto him that this night, even this night before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he spoke more vehemently, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said likewise. So one of the things that we overlook sometimes, we really concentrate on what Peter said here, because he's the one that is outspoken. He's the one that says, "I'm not going to do this." But, you know, they all said the same thing. They all agreed with Peter that we would not deny you. And we know that at the presence of the cross, really John was the only one that stayed there at that time. So, you know, in some sense, they all have done or did what Jesus predicted here. But Peter is the one that we are focusing on tonight, because Peter claims through his pride that "I will never fall away, I will never deny Christ." And so that really is taking the first step into backsliding. As Proverbs 16 says, and you're probably very familiar with this passage, that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. You know, there's a famous organization that says admitting that you have a problem, you know, is the first step. But here it's admitting, you know, thinking that you don't have a problem that's really the first step. Thinking that you do not have a problem is the first step into backsliding. Thinking that's not going to happen to me. You know, Jesus is warning them. And is Jesus pretty credible? Everything that Jesus has said has come true. And for them to hear Jesus state that this is going to happen, you know, Jesus has a pretty good track record on things that he says coming true. And in this case, you know, they said, no, that's not going to happen. And Peter says, no, that's not going to happen. I don't have a problem. And Matthew chapter 18, verses 3 and 4 says, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So the idea here that's being brought out is pride. That the children have humility and the older ones don't. And unless you become like like these little children, then that's really a step into backsliding, not realizing that you are vulnerable. And Peter was vulnerable. The rest of them were too. And so Peter said, no, that'll never happen is a problem. Paul gave advice to the Corinthians that's very appropriate here in this regard as well. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, he said, all these things happened to them as examples and were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And so these things, too, are written for our admonition. And all the ones that you can look at in the past that had a problem with pride, it certainly doesn't bode well if we don't have humility. Another thing that you could read into some of the situation with Peter is laziness. Well, how is that? Well, in Mark chapter 14 and verse 32, we see that the disciples are told to keep watch. And, Peter was one of those that kept falling asleep during that time. Mark 14, verse 32, they came to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. And he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. He went a little further and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Then he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. When he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And you get the idea there that they were embarrassed, that they've already been told to stay awake once, and then, he comes and finds them again asleep, and they're deer in the headlights. They don't know what to say. And it said he came a third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. My betrayer is at hand. So here Peter and the others were told to keep watch. And, the instruction from Jesus indicates that they don't really understand the seriousness of what's going on here, that what is about to happen, and that there was not preparation that they had to be able to handle this. And Jesus said that they needed to do that. Jesus said that you need to watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Probably that went right over their heads, but that was something that Peter needed at this time. But without diligence, we can be caught unprepared and not really be ready to deal with temptation. Now, Peter has had some warnings here that you're going to have some problems with temptation. And so he should have been on guard that would happen. More often than not, as we've said before, backsliding is a gradual thing that catches us off guard. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 2, therefore we must give more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? If you've been to the beach or any kind of body of water, and you've been on a raft or an inner tube or some kind of flotation device, and you just close your eyes for a while, you open your eyes, and you're not in the same place that you started. And depending on the current, you could be very far off from where it was that you started. And it can be startling if you're around friends and family, and you open up your eyes, and you don't see anybody that you know. You've been drifting. You didn't realize that you were drifting. And, that's... that can be alarming, but that's not really that important in the grand scheme of things. But when you look at spiritual drifting, that is important. And when people become proud of themselves, what usually happens? They let their guard down. I don't need any help. I'm very strong. And Peter said, I'm very strong. I'm not going to be the one that betrays you. Everybody else might, but I won't. And then the others step up. No, no. You know, we all feel the same way. So you become lazy when you become proud, and that easily, you know, gets you to drifting, and that leads to the next step, which is cowardice. Cowardice. So in Mark chapter 14 and verse 54, as we start getting into the account of Peter's denial, it starts off by saying that Peter followed at a distance. You're right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. You know, back in the Ice Age when I was growing up, you know, we had shopping malls that we would go to, and malls were very much more popular. In those days, the indoor mall was kind of a new thing and popular thing. And, you know, I didn't have a car until I got to college. I wasn't like you spoiled kids that got cars in high school. And if I wanted to go to the mall, it's usually because my mom would take me. But I didn't want to walk with her. I didn't want to be seen with her at the mall. And so I would follow her at a distance. Because why? That I didn't want to be associated with. That's a horrible thing, isn't it? That you're wanting to be independent from your parents. And so sometimes that happens with kids. They want to be independent. So I'm going to follow my mom at a distance so nobody knows that my mom's the one that gave me a ride here, but I'm going to be hollering for her when I need to go home. But here, Peter followed Jesus at a distance. Why? Well, it's obvious why that is. Because he doesn't want to be seen as being associated with Jesus. He doesn't want anybody to think that he is there with him. He's not my ride. He's not the one that I came here with. So Peter stays far away enough from Jesus as not to be identified with him at all. This is a far cry from what Peter said earlier, that I won't deny you. I'm your best friend. I'm the one that is attached to you. And now he doesn't want anything to do with him and is going to follow behind at a distance. So he's really unprepared for the challenge of facing ridicule. I understand ridicule and persecution is difficult, but that's what Peter is going to face here. And he's not prepared for it. And so how are we that way? If you ever see somebody, you know, carrying a Bible, doesn't it make an impression on you if you see somebody carrying a Bible? Why does that make an impression? Because we don't usually see it, do we? We don't usually see people walking around with their Bibles. And if I see somebody carrying a Bible, I automatically start thinking good things about that person, because I'm assuming they're carrying it because they're going to read it, and that they've got, you know, they've got some kind of relationship with what's contained in the pages of the Bible. So you think a little bit more highly of that person. But some people may not think that way about that person. They may look at that person, well, that there goes another one of those self-righteous, you know, Bible thumpers that's going to try to tell me how to live my life. That may be how somebody else reacts to that. And so there may be some that, well, I'm going to keep my Bible in my backpack or I'll just leave it in my car. And I don't really need a Bible anyway because I've got it on my phone. And so somebody might be ashamed to be seen with it. What about, you know, giving thanks? Bowing your head and giving thanks in a restaurant. When you see a family do that together in a restaurant, how does that make you feel when you see that? It makes me feel good when I see other people doing that. But sometimes there are those that are too embarrassed to do that. Or they're embarrassed to be seen with other Christians, and certainly that is not the way that it should be. We shouldn't be ashamed to let others know that we are part of the cause of Christ. Jesus made it very clear what he thinks of cowardice. In Mark chapter 8, verse 38, "Whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father and the holy angels." That's very clear that Jesus wants us to stand up for him and be counted. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, "But the cowardly unbelieving, abominable, murderers, socially immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars should have the part in that lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And we all know that adulterers and liars and unbelieving, all those have a part in that. It starts off with those who are cowardly. Those who are cowardly, or who are timid, and will not stand up for the cause of Christ. So when we are ashamed of Christ, is it easy for us to backslide? Well, certainly it is. It would be natural to fall into backsliding when we are cowardly and fall at a distance, as Peter did. Also, giving in to worldliness is a problem. In Mark chapter 14, again, verse 54, Peter followed him at a distance right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. So Peter, here, sitting with the servants of the high priest, warming himself by the fire. We already know that he's ashamed to be seen with Christ, so he's mingling with others that are of the world and enjoying their comfort, at least by the fire. And, you know, when we have that kind of contact with the world, it's going to affect us. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 27 says, "Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife, whoever touches her shall not be innocent." Here, this is in regard, in the context, talking about immorality and how immorality is going to affect you, and having this contact with the world is going to be something that is going to bring destruction to your life. And so we need to be aware of that. We cannot, you know, flirt with the world and become like the world and expect it to not affect us. My parents' favorite verse seemed to be, "Do not be deceived, evil company corrupts good habits," because, you know, that they reminded me of that over and over. You know who my friends were? My friends were whoever had cars and could take me places. That's who I wanted to be my friend. You see a theme here, right? And, you know, it could be that person that had a car, you know, was not really the best person for me to be around. And I'm not going to say anything more about that, but that was correct. There was some that I shouldn't have been around. And my parents were, mom especially, reminded me of that over and over. You know, that's not the kind of person you need to be around. Why? Because they're going to get you into trouble, or you're going to become like them. And so, you know, flirting with the world, you're not going to walk away untouched. And when you become friends with the world, as Peter is doing here, he's apart from those that share his love for Christ. He's already been following behind at a distance, and he's with people that aren't really his people. And it's just a matter of time before it gets a little bit worse when he actually denies Christ. In Mark chapter 14, verse 66, as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of his servant girls of the high priest came. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You are also with Jesus of Nazareth." You think about that accusation. Had Peter spent a lot of time with Jesus? He had. Had Jesus been a polarizing figure? He had. A lot of people knew who Jesus was. Certainly, you know, all of these events that are taking place right now are all revolving around Jesus. So whenever Jesus was seen, there were others that were looking at Jesus, looking to find fault with him. And so it just really seems to make a lot of sense that anybody that spent as much time around Jesus, other people had seen him there. And when she saw him, she said, "You are with him." And it doesn't really make sense for Peter to deny that, but he does. He said, "I neither know nor understand what you're saying," and went out on the porch and a rooster crowed. The servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, "This is one of them," but he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by and said to Peter again, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and and your speech shows it. Then he began to curse and swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. So he's away from Christ. He's at comfort around the fire with those of the world. And he finds himself denying his Lord and Savior. He's put himself into danger here. He's doing what Jesus said should not be done. Whoever confesses me before men, I'll confess before my Father in heaven. Whoever denies me before men, I'll deny before my Father in heaven. So Peter's put himself in the wrong category there. And though he didn't actually say the words, I deny him, his speech and his actions certainly said that. And we may not say those words that I deny Christ, but you can certainly live in such a way and speak in such a way, behave in such a way that it shows that that's exactly what you do. We can easily backslide to the point of denying him in action. When we're called to serve him, we don't render any service. When we're called to worship him, we make any excuse not to do that. When we should be standing by his side and wearing his name, we don't want to do that because it's inconvenient or it's too polarizing. But when we deny the Lord, backsliding has had its effect. And unless we repent, we're in a really bad situation. And Peter was in a bad situation here, and this really is one of the saddest occasions that you can think about when Peter did exactly what he said he wouldn't do. And Jesus turned and looked at him, and then Peter saw him looking at him. You can just imagine, you probably all felt those looks when you're a kid, look from your mom and dad, when you've been caught in something that you shouldn't be doing, and you just get that look and your heart sinks, and this is just magnified a hundredfold on top of that. I can't imagine what Peter must have felt, and it certainly is appropriate that he went out and wept bitterly when this happened. Luke chapter 22 verse 60, but Peter said, man, I do not know what you're saying. Immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Judas went out and wept bitterly as well, but unlike Judas, Peter showed that he had godly sorrow that led to repentance. And years later, we see Peter writing the things that we read at the beginning of this lesson, writing the sort of things that would prevent somebody else from doing what Peter did, making that same mistake. So let's just briefly look at how we do that. Advice from one who learned the hard way. Pretty obvious that to guard against pride, you need to put on the opposite of pride, which would be humility. And that's what Peter recommends to the brethren he's addressing. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So God does resist the proud. He gives grace to the humble. And Peter is inviting these others to be humble. So guard against pride. That's going to help you keep from backsliding. Also, to be warned about laziness. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. If you've ever seen somebody on television or in a movie in a dangerous situation, and if you're watching it with Jarell, she's going to yell at the TV for them to run. Get out of there. Run. What are you thinking? And they never listen to her. But the warning against laziness here to be diligent, and the illustration of the devil walking about like a roaring lion. You know, oh, nice kitty. You know, that's not what the way that you're going to treat that lion. You're going to get away from it. You don't want to be around that. And if it's chasing you, you want to be running, because that's not something that you want to mess with. So beware of laziness. Peter also talks about this in his second epistle, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, but for this very reason, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. He tells them to be diligent in verse 10 of chapter 1 of 2 Peter. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. Verse 14 of chapter 3, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. So you see the theme there that Peter keeps telling them, not to be lazy, be the opposite of lazy, be diligent, be fruitful. And instead of being cowardly, you need to glorify God. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. So, you don't think about what this does to you, what it does to your reputation, how it affects you, but how it glorifies God that you go through these things. Sometimes when we suffer, it's because of mistakes that we've made ourselves, and sometimes we get those two confused, and if we're suffering, we think, well, you know, God said I'm going to have to suffer. No, well, it depends on what you're suffering. If you're suffering because you lied and you got caught, that's not the same type of suffering. This is suffering for doing things that are right, suffering for following the cause of Christ. If you're suffering because you're a Christian and you're trying to do what's right and the world doesn't like it, then you fit into this category that Peter is telling us to don't be upset with that, but the way that you're living is something that glorifies God. Don't be cowardly. Don't try to hide the fact that you're a follower of God, but let that be known. Instead of worldliness, Peter tells the brethren to abstain. Abstain from what? Well, to abstain from things that are worldly. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, and when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. So instead of taking on the world, being friends with the world, put those things aside, abstain from those fleshly lusts, which is a broad category of things that, if it's worldly, if it's against God, then you abstain from those things. Because why? Because you're sojourners and you're pilgrims. This world isn't your home. And, you know, there's a better place than anything that this world has to offer. So you're not really giving up anything of value when you compare it to what is ahead of you. And finally, instead of denial, Peter tells them to give a defense. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That's really a far cry different than the way Peter behaved at the cross of Christ, isn't it? He was doing anything but giving a defense at that point. He was hiding the fact that he was a follower of God. But see, he's learned from that, and he wants us to learn from that. He does not want us to fall into the same trap of backsliding and not walking with Christ. He wants us to be ready to give a defense. So all this is talking about preparation, preparing your mind, preparing your heart, preparing yourself with knowledge that you'll be able to resist in the day of temptation and not deny Christ, but rather you would be defending Christ instead of denying. So a lot of times it's very appropriate that we learn from somebody that has had experience. That was one thing that my father told me over and over is, Randy, you need to learn from other people mistakes because you don't have time to make all the mistakes yourself, which he stole from Mark Twain. I thought it was his, but he got that from Mark Twain. But he told me that over and over. And why did he tell me that? Because he kept seeing me make mistakes. You don't have time to make all the mistakes. Learn from other people's. And Peter has allowed us to learn from his mistakes. We can look back at what he did. And if you're looking back at what Peter did and you're saying, that would never happen to me, then you've missed the whole point of the lesson. Because Peter said, it could never happen to me. It can happen. We can backslide if we're not prepared. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." We need to remember also that when Peter saw the eyes of the Lord, he realized the error of his way. Judas also realized the error of his way, but he went out and killed himself. Peter's life after this was much different because he repented and he became a servant of God, and we know the kind of influence that he had on others as we've been reading tonight in the latter part of this lesson. He realized that he had backslidden and he wanted to prevent others from doing that as well. So let's learn the lessons there for us. And also learn the lesson that when we do find ourselves in the wrong place, that we have a God that will take us back, and we can repent, and we can change, and we can do better because of the grace of God that will forgive us of our sins. If we can help in any way to be obedient to the gospel of Christ, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.